There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
And may the peace of God richly dwell upon and within each and every one of you, and share that peace with those around you. And peace be with you. Good morning. And with you also. And peace be with you all. I'm not going to come down and walk through the aisles this time. So, but I will tell you that there are announcements on the bulletin on the back. And you can read them. I do want to remind you especially that readers are wanted for the Sunday service for the scriptures. And Scott has an announcement.
As you know, Brenda Sauter, our longtime secretary, retired. So the council is going to get her a present. We're going to get her a Visa gift card. And I'm going to pass around the clipboard with a card. If everybody can just sign the card, just sign your name or some well wishes to her or whatever, and we'll get her that gift and card. So that's all I got.
Okay, so while you're paying close attention to everything going on in the service, including my sermon, you can go ahead and sign the card. And with that, we will go to our call to worship. Jesus, teacher, your teaching surprises us. You move us with sorrow for the sorrow of the world. You offer us humility to admit our failures. You make us hungry for justice. You invite us to practice what we preach. You support us in standing firm for truth, even when it costs. O Lord, you're beautiful. Join in the prayer. O God of our lives, you are always turning the world upside down, calling us to follow you into new ventures, new challenges, new ways to care, new ways to touch the hearts of all. When we get tired or feel disappointed, remind us that you can bring change and hope out of the most difficult situations, so that we may do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you always. Amen. Do we have a reader today? I guess we have me. It's a good thing I brought a copy of the scriptures with me. This is from the prophet Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Here ends our first reading. Now we turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here ends our second reading. The God whom we call our God is a loving, just, and caring God who desires good for us and who recognizes that we often fail to live up to God's expectations. And so, God calls us to acknowledge before Him and ourselves and each other our need for transformation and new life. And so let us together join in that prayer. The world's wisdom surrounds us. Look after number one. Better be safe than sorry. Only the strong survive. Revenge is sweet. May God forgive us when we, as Christ's own people, believe these words to be life-giving when Jesus has shown us a better way. Amen. You know, the wonderful thing about God is that God does indeed love us and grants us repeatedly not only forgiveness, but the opportunity to do right over and over because of God's great love for us in Christ. And so we are made new. Amen. We turn to Psalm 15. Oh, there we are. O Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tent? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth from his heart. Who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his friend, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. May God grant us blessing in the reading and hearing of God's word. Here I am trying to be efficient and get ahead for the next hymn, and I have to keep paging one by one to get to it. At the outset, I want you to understand what I'm going to be talking about is not politics, it's morals. It's biblical. But I do want to explain a couple of things from a civil standpoint first. We have heard many statements being put forth about illegal criminal aliens. How many of us here, and I want you to be honest, believe that anyone who comes into this country without doing it the right way is automatically a criminal? Anybody? Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Why?
Because they came here illegally.
But there are two types of law in this country. Are you aware of that? There's civil law and there's criminal law. Criminal law is when you murder someone, rob someone, assault someone, blackmail, extortion. Those are things that are criminal laws. Then there are civil laws, jaywalking, overstaying your parking meter. If a person enters this country not through a port of entry, they are not guilty of breaking a criminal law. They have simply broken, they've made an infraction of a civil law.
The difference is it's still a law.
It is still a law, but it does not deserve to be killed, nor does it deserve to be hunted down like an animal. And especially it does not deserve to be justified by people who claim to be Christian. There's ample evidence in our nation's current events. We are far from doing what God intends. We are doing harm to one another. Justice is in short supply. And when the Bible talks of justice, they're not talking about going to court and having a hearing with lawyers. They're talking about welcoming the stranger. By the way, in the Bible, when it uses the word stranger, they mean refugees. They mean immigrants. Even in Leviticus, it says to the people of Israel, welcome the stranger. Treat them as your family, even as you were welcomed in Egypt at a certain time. For you were strangers there. We have forsaken our love of neighbor and left mercy in the dustbin. This is who we are. And there are a host of people who claim to be Christians and yet cheer when people are being rounded up without even warrants, with mere suspicion that they may not have come here the right way. And even the people who have are being rounded up. People who have come in the right way, who have entered ports of entry and filed for asylum and are waiting for their asylum trials to take place, and they're being picked up and deported. That is not what God calls us to do. That is not what Jesus says. Caring for immigrants is one of the things the Bible is actually clear about. The Bible frequently instructs believers to love, welcome, and protect immigrants, often referred to as strangers, aliens, or sojourners, emphasizing empathy because the Israelites were once foreigners in Egypt. Key verses command fair treatment, legal equality, and hospitality toward them. And by the way, our constitutional law in this country says any person in this country, not citizen, person, is owed due process, which means going to court, having their cases heard. And especially we as followers of Jesus are called upon to go beyond that mere standard. I am sure you are all familiar with Matthew 25, where Jesus talks about separating the sheep and the goats. And the goats are cast aside as not followers of Jesus, for amongst other reasons, I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. And again, when the Bible uses that term, they're not talking about someone from another town over that you've never met before. They're talking about a stranger, a refugee, an immigrant. And I know every single one of us here are descended from immigrants. And not necessarily immigrants that came here the right way. And in fact, you know, many of you know I grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania, right? That's almost East Coast. And out on the East Coast, especially in New England, there are a lot of people who are able to claim ancestry back to the Mayflower. Technically, the pilgrims who came on the Mayflower were invaders. They came to this country and claimed land that did not belong to them. They didn't go through any procedure with a government. They just settled. And fortunately, the Wampanoag peoples made them welcome. We all are descendants of immigrants. And we all claim to be followers of Jesus. And we are called to be welcoming, to heal, to feed, to clothe, to care for. In a few minutes, we will be coming to the communion table, the table of our Lord. Our Lord who said, "Come unto me all who labor and are heavy laden." All, not some, not the select few. Come unto me all. Think about that. Amen. I know I should have asked for joys and concerns during the announcements. I keep forgetting because I'm used to doing it just before the prayers. So, are there concerns or joys that you want us to know about today? I know one of the things that someone mentioned coming in, pray for all the folks, especially in Tennessee, that are still without power. And so, we place before you our concerns and joys. And your response is in the bulletin. This is new for you, isn't it? Under prayers of the people. When I say we place before you our concerns and joys, other concerns today. Our homebound and shut-in members. We have them listed here. Olive and Dennis. Mavis, Jim, Donna, Orville, Vianne, we place before you our concerns and joys. Is there anyone else that you want us to particularly know is in need of prayer today? Anyone have any joys to share? We're just miserable because it's cold and snowy. The days are getting longer. So let's join our hearts and minds together in prayer. God, as we're gathered here, listening to your word, singing hymns, we ask that you would be touching us, touching our hearts, touching our spirits. By your Holy Spirit, open us up to your guidance. Help us to genuinely pray for those who are in need, to do what we can in prayer and in whatever other way possible to help. And so we especially pray for the citizens of Tennessee and all of those living without power there now, the people on the East Coast who are being absolutely pummeled with a winter storm that they have very little experience in dealing with. We pray for our loved ones and members of this congregation who are in long-term care, for Olive and Dennis, for Mavis and for Jim, for Donna and for Orville and for Vianne. And we ask that you would be holding them in your loving, healing arms. And God, we pray for our country, for our state, for Plato and the other towns we live in. May we find ways to help peace prevail, to help those who are in need, and to not turn our backs away. And I pray that we would all be given wisdom, and especially those who are our political leaders, that they would lead us with wisdom and sense. Be with us, bless us, and help us to be a blessing to those around, for the sake of our Savior Jesus, in whose name we pray, as we join in the prayer he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And once again, I was running on automatic pilot and was expecting to do the statement of faith before the communion rather than right after the message. And so, let's join together in the UCC Statement of Faith 1959 edition. We believe in God, the Eternal Spirit, Father of our Savior Jesus Christ and our Father, and to his deeds we testify. He calls the worlds into being, creates man in his own image, and sets before him the ways of life and death. He seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. He judges men and nations by his righteous will, declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, he has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death, and reconciling the world to himself. He bestows upon us his Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. He calls us into his Church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be his servants in the service of men, to proclaim the gospel to all the world, and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. He promises to all who trust him forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, his presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in his kingdom which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him. Amen. We bring our offerings before God as testament of our desire to be God's servants. And so, as we have given on the way in, let's go ahead and sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings.
Us dedicate our offerings. Liberator Christ, you went to the top of a mountain and taught a sacred word about the meek and the grief-stricken, about the lost and the lonely. Come to this place now, and by these gifts help us to see the world not as it is, but as it could be, that we may become good news to all. Amen.
Give me by my home,
up the bread and blessed it and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And at the end of the meal, he picked up the last cup of wine, the one cup that is never consumed, set aside for the prophet, the Messiah. He blessed it, and he said to the disciples, "Each of you, drink of this. It is the new covenant in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, gracious God, by your Holy Spirit, we ask you to bless these elements of bread and wine, that indeed they would be to us communion in the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for all is ready. As we depart from the table of our Lord, let us join together in a prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, here at this table we have been in the company of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. You have revealed your loving ways to us in broken bread and poured cup. Now, as your light has illuminated our lives, help us to be a light for others. Amen. O Master, let me walk with thee.
And now as we depart from this place, let us go with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And may God bless and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the light of God's countenance be lifted upon you and give you peace now and always. And go in joy.